You're listening to the Raising Humans Kind podcast with family psychologist Ashley, where we dive into the big topics, the stuff that really matters in raising your small humans kindly, so that together we can raise humankind. In this series, you're going to hear solo episodes from me all about the needs of our stuck and sensitive kids. I hope it challenges you, and I hope it inspires you to find your own unique pathway in raising your small human kindly. Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to another episode. So today I want to dive into the idea of violent play and young children. So for many parents, their children start off playing like mums and dads and shops and brooming cars along the road and all these like sweet little games. And then suddenly they start playing killing games and war games and games with guns and swords. And for some parents, it feels a little bit disturbing. So I want to dive into that topic with you today, and I want to share with you eight important things to know about violent play in young children. But before I even start, let's talk about what play actually is, because technically it's not violent or aggressive because it's play. And so play is something that is always created by the players themselves. The players themselves come up with the rules. And that's really important when we're talking about violent play. And they have to be able to freely enter and exit the play themselves. And play is not real. In order for it to be play, it has to be not real and has to have no consequences. So there are quite a few factors that make something play. So let's be really clear that what I'm talking about is play, and it has to be play. So all those things where everybody feels safe, they're free to enter, they're free to exit, it comes from within the game. The players make it up themselves. So all of those things have to be present for it to be play. And that's what I'm talking about when I talk about these eight ideas of violent or aggressive play in young children. So I'll do this episode in two parts because it will be a little bit of a longer one. So I'll share four things today and four things on Friday. Okay, so the first thing is that play is about working through the emotion, not the content. So the emotion or the conflict or whatever is going on internally in the body is what actually drives the play. The content is kind of just a symptom of that. It's actually less important. The content doesn't actually tell us much. It's just providing the discharge that the nervous system needs or the theme that the child needs to work through. So the details of the play in many cases isn't going to have anything to do with what the child has seen or has heard. It's just simply an expression of the emotion or the fear or the confusion inside of their body. It's kind of more symbolic of something than it is literal. And as I said earlier, one of the key definitions of play is that it's not real. So often you will wonder, where did my children get this from? Or what does this even mean? But really, we're not looking so much at the content of the play. It's not always the detail that's going to be very relevant. So that's the first thing to understand. Remind yourself that the child's play is a way of them moving through an emotion or an inner conflict or something that's going on inside of their body. The detail or the content of the play in the majority of cases is actually not relevant. Of course, there are some children who are going to be playing out things that they've seen or heard. But in many cases, in what we're talking about with young children who are playing at home or in the park and they've picked up a stick and they've made it into a sword, in most cases, it's not actually about what they've seen or heard. It's just a reflection of an inner drive or conflict or emotion that they are trying to work through. So number two is one of the things that I do is I look at the intensity and the consistency and whether it's actually a game. So in most cases, you'll hear me say, it's normal, it's fine, this is just what happens. As I said in point number one, the content of the play is very rarely relevant. But I do like to look at the intensity and the consistency. So if a child is playing, you know, really violent games and that's all they're playing and it's over and over again and it's consistent and it's all the time, then I would ask myself why. Now, I'm not going to stop the game. The game is not causing the problem. The game is just indicating that maybe that child has some frustration energy to move? Or are there other things that we can consider for that child? Is there alarm in that child's system? Is there something going on in their life that they're struggling to work through? So, you know, playing a war game or a killing game or some kind of violent game here or there, or copying a game that came from friends at preschool is one thing. But if I can see that a child has really built up energy or fear and is consistently needing to come out in these games, then I would ask myself why. And again, not because the play needs to stop, but just because the play might be giving me an insight into their internal world. Do they need support with a big emotion, or do they need support to move through some kind of conflict? So that's the second thing that I'm looking at. And what I also want to look at when it comes to that point is there a story or an actual game going on? So what I've heard a lot of parents say is, you know, they've seen their child smashing cars or breaking things and they're thinking, oh, but they're just working through their emotions through play. But a child who's just smashing something isn't actually processing something. This is incredibly different to a child who runs around with their friends and their sticks are catching the bad guys, right? The play has a story and has a theme and things are happening, and the child in that sense is moving through something. I wouldn't leave a child on their own who is just breaking or damaging or smashing things. I would see that as a child who's needing some support. And they need some support to integrate that big energy that is coming out. And in that case, I wouldn't just be leaving it or assuming that it's play and that they're working through it. So that's the second point, is I'd be looking at the intensity and the consistency. And if it felt like the intensity and the consistency was really out of what I expected, then I might ask myself, is this indicative of something that's going on for the child? Do they need more support in one area or more areas of their life? And as I said, really looking at whether or not it's a game or it's just aggression and frustration that's coming out on an object. Okay, and the third thing I would ask and wonder is the child actually able to stay regulated? So each child will be ready for play without an adult and with other children at different times and different ages. And our society assumes that children are ready much before they actually are for these kinds of group games. And some kids are really capable of playing and being rough and having war games and not actually getting dysregulated and being able to hear people's no and being able to stop when they need to stop. And other kids are just not ready for that, and it goes too far and too intense. And in these cases, it's really our responsibility to stay close and be aware of what our child is capable of. So for some kids, you really can just let them work it out with their friends, and you can watch on as they play a war game with their little, you know, their other little friends. But for other children, you absolutely can't, and they will need adult support. So number three, is the child actually able to stay regulated during the play? If the child's not able to stay regulated during this form of play, then they will need adult support. And if they are, I think it's perfectly fine to just watch on and make sure that everybody's enjoying themselves. Because remember, that's an important part of play, is that it feels safe and it's freely entered into. So, and I'll go into that more in one of my points as well a little bit later. Okay, so number four is that it's important to remember that we actually want things to come out in play that we don't want to come out in real life. So play is the space to explore the desires and the temptations and the impulses that we feel as human beings. That's literally what it's for. It's literally its purpose. Because it's not real and it doesn't have consequences, it's a perfect place for all of these ideas and temptations and impulses to come out. So we don't have to judge the content of the play as wrong. It actually does serve a purpose for the players in some way. And an example of that is play is where a child can have a lot of power and control and be in charge, and they can be the bad guy. And that's a really important need to be met through play, because we don't actually want that need to be met in real life, because that would have a lot of consequences. So the play is the reflection of what the child needs internally. It doesn't actually cause it. So stopping the play never deals with why the play began in the first place. So the energy or the conflict that drove the play doesn't just disappear if we stop it. But what actually happens if we allow these things to surface in play and to come out and be resolved through play, then it actually helps and it doesn't need these things to come out and surface in real life. Okay, so they're today's first 4 points. So play is about working through the emotion, not the content. Number 2 is do look at the intensity and the consistency and whether it's actually a game. Number 3 is be mindful of whether or not your child is actually able to stay regulated and is ready for these types of games. Number 4 is that it's important to remember that we actually want these things to come out in play so that they don't come out in real life. Okay, so I'll dive into another 4 ideas for you to consider on Friday. So if you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, episodes are being released both Wednesday and Friday at the moment. So you can hit the subscribe button and just hear straight away when they come. And yeah, that's it. I will see you back on Friday with 4 other ideas for you to consider about violent play and young children. Okay, hope you've enjoyed that and have a beautiful week. Thank you for joining me. If you loved this episode and want more like this, leave a review or screenshot this podcast, share it in your Instagram stories and tag me at @raisinghumanskind. This is such a powerful way to support the podcast and means it will reach more parents who need to hear this message. And if you want to dive deeper, check out the show notes for all the further information so that we can raise our small humans kindly and together we can raise humankind.